Hi, and welcome to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we talk with patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals and do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. Good nutrition is important for patients with cancer, as it can help them proactively manage treatment-related side effects, prevent weight loss, and reduce the risk of cancer recurrence. However, treatment and its side effects can often cause a range of issues that affect a person's ability to maintain a healthy diet. This week, we spoke with Rachel Wong, an oncology dietitian from the Lombardi Comprehensive Cancer Center, about what dietary modifications can be made to maintain nutrition and how supplements can be used safely to help patients get the vitamins and minerals they need to stay healthy.
So first off, thank you for taking the time to speak with us today. Let's kick it off with talking just a little bit about nutrition in general. So why is it important that patients with cancer maintain good nutrition through their treatment?
So nutrition plays a really important role for cancer patients because it's one thing that they can do for themselves, of course, but having good nutrition can give you good energy levels so that you can tolerate your therapies and therefore have potentially reduce side effects from your treatments like nausea, constipation. For example, like if you're not eating very well, you may have trouble going to the bathroom, and that can cause another obstacle in terms of your recovery from your therapy. Same thing with nausea and diarrhea too. So if you're not eating enough, you can get yourself dehydrated, and that can potentially slow your recovery from your therapies. But also in general, good nutrition can help optimize your quality of life. So if you're not having as many side effects, that can really help allow you to do the things that you normally like to do in life, like be able to do daily activities, like spending time with your family, you know, instead of lying in bed all the time because you're tired, those kinds of things. And also research has shown that improved nutrition can help enhance overall survival from cancer therapy. So another big reason as to why focusing on nutrition is one thing you can do for yourself as a patient to help optimize your outcomes.
That's great. Now, so what kind of roadblocks would you say patients might run into while trying to keep that nutrition up during treatment? And is there a way that they can kind of modify their diets to kind of compensate?
Of course. So what diet and nutrition is definitely something that can be modified. Certainly patients will experience decreased appetite even prior to starting therapy. Therapy can definitely exacerbate those symptoms some more, but other things that can also occur that, you know, most patients may not have thought about is that it can increase your metabolic processes, like your body can be working harder and therefore burning more calories than you normally do. Think about, like, if you're exercising, sometimes, you know, you're burning more calories, so you have to think about eating a little bit more, snacking a little bit more often. If you do experience involuntary weight loss and you do find that you're eating normally, like you usually do, think about how many times a day you're eating. Maybe you can incorporate 2, maybe 3 snacks in between your meals. And snacks can be small. They can be like a handful of nuts or some cheese and crackers or tuna salad with some crackers. So those are little things that you can do, and that can add additional protein and it can add additional calories. Just giving yourself additional 200 calories, you know, 2 or 3 times a day, that's 400 to 600 more calories a day than you normally would have consumed. So that can be a way to kind of help deal with decreased appetite, but also deal with the increased metabolism, like your calorie burn. So that's one thing that can happen. And then specifically for GI cancer patients, depending on the type of cancer, like if it's pancreatic cancer, for example, you may experience difficulty with your body producing enough digestive enzymes. And for those patients, you may need to talk with your doctor about taking oral digestive enzymes that help your body digest your food and help you reduce some of those digestive related symptoms like bloating or pain or loose stools when you do eat. And then it's another example for gastric cancer patients who may have had surgery to remove all or part of their stomach, you know, they absolutely have to modify their diet. And you would have to eat smaller, more frequent snacks throughout the day, like 6 to 8 times a day. So these kinds of things can be done. And I certainly encourage you to talk with your dietitian, if you have one on staff, to have them give you more specific guidelines and suggestions on, you know, your specific requirements. But also some tips that you can work on your own is just set small goals. Like if you aren't eating well, take a look at how you're eating. Sometimes do a journal like on your own and then take a look at it and see, okay, I'm only eating twice a day. Okay, that I can see that. So maybe what I can do is set a goal to eat like, you know, four times a day, or like keep track of how much water you're drinking. That's a really big one. You know, dehydration is really common in patients, especially undergoing therapies and, you know, they're not feeling well, but, you know, not thinking about drinking water. So if you keep a track of how much water you're drinking and you notice you're only drinking like 3 cups of water a day, that can really, you know, contribute to how poorly you're feeling. So if you hydrate better, all your organs function better, you feel better. And so making a goal to say like, you know, I'm only drinking 3 cups a day, but maybe I could do 5 or 6, you know, and that's a short-term goal. In the long-term, you know, I certainly encourage most people to get at least 8 cups of water a day, more depending on your specific needs, you know. But those are examples of goals you can make for yourself or some modifications that you can do on your own to help improve your nutrition status.
That's great. So you touched on supplements there a little bit. Can you talk a little bit more about what kind of supplements patients can look into and like how they vary depending on their needs?
Sure. So supplements is a big topic. And I'd like to also differentiate between like nutritional supplements that are like in the form of calorie and protein enhancers versus vitamins and minerals and herbal supplements. So nutritional supplements that come in the form of like your additional calories and proteins, those I do strongly encourage for many of my patients that are having difficulty with their eating and having a poor appetite. A lot of research has found that taking these kinds of supplements can help patients meet the daily requirements that they need to help prevent involuntary weight loss and help maintain adequate energy levels and help improve those treatment-related outcomes. So, for example, whey is a type of a protein powder. There's other protein powders like soy, rice, pea powders that are also just as effective. And protein powders can help you supplement in your diet in a way where you can get the protein you need to prevent muscle loss. So protein powders are great in smoothies. That's what most people use them for. They come in many different flavors like vanilla and chocolate, and strawberry, coffee. There's a ton of flavors out there. But actually, some patients that I talked to that they weren't aware of this is that you can get protein powders that are unflavored. And unflavored protein powders are really good in patients who really aren't like, for if they're having taste changes, for example, like they just don't want to have anything sweet. You can add unflavored protein powders to like soups or savory dishes, more like sauce-based dishes. And you would add them like to right before you're about to eat, not while you're cooking, because the protein can denature when you're cooking it. But yeah, so the protein powders are a really great addition in savory foods and in shakes too. But also you can buy ready to drink shakes, and that's something that I can recommend too, for especially for people who don't really have the time to like prepare shakes or prepare meals or are too tired to, or don't have the tools, like if you don't have a blender, right? So like you probably have heard of Ensure and Boost. Those are examples, but there's so many more out there. Ensure and Boost is just often talked about by the doctors because they're highly marketed, but there's other ones like Carnation Instant Breakfast and even Muscle Milk, or there's an organic one called Orgain that I've recommended frequently. Trying to think of the other ones. Fairlife is a newer milk-based product, but they have their own protein shake, and I think it has like 20 to 26 grams of protein in it. So there's lots of different options. So you can either make your own or you can buy ready-to-drink shakes. Both are just great, and they're good for snacks, not as a meal replacement. That's something that I do mention to my patients, is making sure that you have it as part of your diet, but not as a replacement for your meals, because eating solid foods and getting the plant-based and just whole foods as a whole is going to be even more beneficial, and the supplements are a supplement. So that's mostly about like the calorie supplements, the calorie and protein supplements. And then there's vitamins, minerals, and like herbal supplements. And these can become a little bit more tricky, because if you're undergoing cancer therapy, there can be potential risks involved when you take oral supplements, because there's just a lack of like evidence and data on them. It's hard to study taking supplements because there's so many outside factors. And with supplements, many of them, they do have side effects and they can interfere with your treatment. So for example, like high antioxidant supplements, vitamins A, C, and E, for example, those if you take in high doses, can potentially impact the effectiveness of your chemotherapy agents. But if you're eating it as part of a diet, like, and I'll go into this in a little bit, but like, you know, eating an orange or having grapes or having bell peppers, you know, that's absolutely fine. There's no harm in having those, and they help you in many ways by giving you fiber and the vitamins and the antioxidants you need, but in a controlled amount. I think that covers that question.
No, that makes sense. Yeah, because you did touch on it a little bit, but I mean, what other kinds of risks or benefits are associated with this, those synthesized supplements versus just the foods that they might be in naturally?
Of course. So yeah, just to elaborate some more. So, I mean, there's so many different supplements out there. But a lot of the popular ones, like green tea, fish oil, for example, turmeric, I think if there's anything else off the top of my head that are really popular. Ginger is another one. And so those are really commonly asked supplements. And I think, like, for example, one of the big risks, if you have really high doses of these, can cause potential like bleeding effects. So like especially if you're taking blood thinners, like you really want to be careful with not taking too many of these kinds of supplements, because it could affect your body's ability to have blood clots, you know, to clot blood, which is important, you know. But also, for example, like high doses of turmeric can potentially cause reflux and indigestion or just GI upset. So in terms of having it in part of your diet as a spice, like you can put it in curries or just add it to rice, for example. And having it in that moderated smaller amount is way more tolerable than having it in a capsule form that can be, you know, 10 times the amount in there. And there's no studies like to date right now that have really conclusively shown that having extremely high doses of a certain nutrient or herb has been effective without consequences of, you know, potential chemotherapy interactions or the supplement side effects, like the indigestion or the increased bleeding, for example. And another thing is that like some other supplements, like green tea, for example, have caffeine. And while some caffeine is fine, like if you are taking, you know, extracts, you know, you may be getting a lot higher doses. It depends on the supplement. But even with drinking the tea, like most recommendations encourage less than 8 glasses. I usually say 3 to 5. But when you're consuming 8 or more glasses, you're getting over 400 milligrams of calcium. Caffeine, excuse me. And so that can potentially interfere with your body's ability to sleep, you know, how jittery you feel. But again, like I said, green tea in excess can also affect your bleeding times. And also another interesting fact is that green tea can interfere with your body's absorption of iron. So if you're taking supplements and you're eating a meal, you might not be absorbing the iron your body needs. So those kinds of things are really important to kind of think about. And, you know, we have some research available that helps us understand this, but there's so much more to be done. And so there's even things that I probably don't know about, you know, that could be occurring if you're taking supplements. So it's always encouraged just to make sure you talk with your doctor and your dietitian about them. And it's certainly up to you to take if you want to take them, but I would recommend just doing your research and understanding, you know, the potential risks if you do take them and versus like the benefits, you know, and if you can get the benefits from eating the food source directly, you know, having the green tea or just cooking with ginger in your meal, you know, it's actually very flavorful and tastes really good. And then, you know, just kind of having that balance is key.
Yeah. So then lastly, what are some nutrient-rich foods that patients can incorporate into their diets to kind of get ahead of that and just protect against infection and kind of help boost their immunity?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So especially because now during COVID, a lot of people have been asking about, you know, ways to strengthen their immune system and to try to consume the right foods, you know, so that they are at lower risk for, you know, becoming ill. So first, I always talk about protein. Protein is really important. It can, and it's commonly found in your diet. So meats like chicken and fish. I mean, you can have beef and lamb and those kinds of foods. They all have protein. But in regards to having like less red meat, like chicken and fish and poultry, other poultry foods are better. Also, nut butters, eggs. nuts, seeds, and even tofu has protein in it. Legumes are a really important food group that I strongly encourage. They have a lot of phytochemicals that help protect your body against cancer and free radicals that can damage your cells. So having beans at least a couple times a week is important. I'm not just talking about green beans. We're talking like lentils and black beans and pinto beans and chickpeas. So trying to include those more often is important. In addition to protein, vitamin A. So vitamin A is found in most of your kind of like orangey, yellow colored plant-based foods, sweet potatoes, papayas, red and yellow bell peppers. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Also fortified foods too. Actually, a lot of breakfast cereals are fortified with vitamin A. So you'll most likely get some there. And also some non-yellow foods that have vitamin A would also be like kale and spinach. And I think the last one I can think off the top of my head is eggs. So including those can help regulate your immune system and prevent your body from infections. Vitamin C is another common one and very plentiful in your diet. So if you're able to have any fruit, most of the time it has vitamin C in it. Citrus fruits like oranges and grapefruit. I should note comment about grapefruit is that there's a potential for drug-related interactions with grapefruit. So always talk with your doctor about that, but oranges are fine. Also, the bell peppers are really good for sources of vitamin C. Also, your fortified foods, too, will have vitamin C. Orange juice, for example, naturally has vitamin C. Yeah, and so vitamin C, vitamin A, and then vitamin E, for example. And vitamin E is in a lot of fortified cereals, so I would definitely encourage you to have fortified cereals because they have all the vitamins that I just mentioned. Sunflower seeds, almonds, and then other vegetable oils like olive oil and canola and safflower oil. Certain nuts are really great. Hazelnuts, for example, as well as peanuts, peanut butter, and spinach. So those are the vitamins. And then the one last thing that you can also encourage you to include are probiotics. So probiotics and prebiotics. So probiotics are going to be like your fermented foods, like your yogurt and your kefir, for example. Even sauerkraut is fermented, has probiotics. But also, interestingly, probiotics are the type of healthy bacteria that need their own food. And so those are called, their own food is called prebiotics. And so prebiotics are things that like are bananas, onions, garlic, leeks, asparagus tips, for example. So having like, if you have breakfast and you have a bowl of yogurt with some fortified cereal in there and a sliced up banana, like that would be a really good immune boosting meal because it has the, you know, probiotics and the prebiotics, vitamin C, A, and E. It has everything you need in that one breakfast meal.
So now is there anything that we haven't touched on that you'd like to add?
It's a great question. I think the main thing I wanted to refocus on is hydration. That's something that I mentioned a little bit about earlier, but your organs in regards to strengthening your immune system. So when you're properly hydrated, all your cells and your organs can function properly and therefore your immune system can work at its best. So remembering to drink at least 6 to 8 glasses of water a day, depending on, you know, the amount of sweat, you know, your body sweats. If you're outdoors a lot, you may need more like 10 glasses of water a day. And if you're sweating a lot, or if you're under treatment and you're losing a lot of fluids, it might actually be even better to supplement with an oral rehydration formula in addition to the water. So for example, Pedialyte can give you additional electrolytes. There's some newer products of out like Liquid IV, for example, that actually have a little bit more electrolytes than like just Gatorade, for example. So you want to look to replenish your sodium and your potassium and your magnesium.
Interesting, especially around the summertime too.
Yes. Yeah. Very important.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.